This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another episode of Extreme Resurrection. I'm James Gruenberg, alongside with the official timekeeper for all of Place to Be Nation's trivia contest, Mr. Michael Cook. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Doing much better now that March is here. Let's hope, for me it was February, for you it was January. Let's make March a better month. And also, watching these past two shows, I was much more pleased than I have been in the first few episodes here.
Oh, yeah, me too. Like, I mean, I know they're using other talent from the other shows, but I thought they were better. The shows were better than what we have been watching as well.
Yeah. Again, you know, as we talked about before, the first few shows were more of an introduction. They still do a little bit more of introduction here, but they actually get into better storylines and a couple better matches.
Yeah, I would say so. Yes. And we finally get to see the Sandman in action instead of him just doing squashes.
Hey, and what can go better with the start of our first show? As they opened it up with Kelly Kelly.
I know. But Mike, before we get into the show, I have to ask you, I was thinking about this. Now, if this happened, if say the concept of bringing ECW back on the Sci-Fi Network happened in 2005 instead of 2006, the Dudley Boys would have stayed. Rhino, Mike Awesome, just to name a few, like Lance Storm, all those guys in ECW's One Night Stand 2005, do you think they would have stayed?
Definitely the Dudley Boys, and, you know, not so sure about Lance Storm, because he was ready to retire. Mike Awesome, who knows? I mean, because he really... I mean, maybe, because he really wasn't going anywhere elsewhere. But I do agree, it could have been very interesting. But I don't think, even though the nostalgia was there, I don't think the WWE fans who weren't ECW were totally on board with everything. I mean, granted, the first one was pretty good. But I think the second one put him over the top. But yeah, you never know. It might have enticed the Dudleys to stay and a few others.
Yeah, because we all know that the Dudley Boys, Rhino, Raven, all those guys, they're going to eventually sign with TNA as 2005 rolls in. And here we are in 2006, and they're still in TNA as this unfolds.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, and maybe you don't have their releases at that point. But the question was McMahon convinced at that point?
And also, if you bring in guys like Mike Awesome, are they already broken goods? By that, do they already have injuries from the original ECW and can't compete with today's standard of WWE? Because if you looked at Scott Steiner when he came into WWE after taking a year off, he still had injuries.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with Steiner. Steiner was just his size. That's what McMahon wants. That's what they've always wanted in WWE. It's that size. Yeah, I mean, you could have kept Rhino, there, but at that point, I can't see Balls Mahoney getting a spot. I mean, if you look at it, someone like Balls Mahoney or any of the few others that are going to be showing up, do they even get a chance with the influx from the year before with the Dudleys and the Rhinos, the already established names? I mean, do we see CM Punk in 2006? I mean, it's just a
Also a good question.
it's Monday morning quarterbacking. And if it happened in 2005, do we have RVD Cena? No, we definitely do not. I mean, I think that time in history, the 2006, even though, as we find out later, hindsight's 2020 with what happens in about a year from now, but I think when it happened, when it started, it came at the perfect time with the crowning of RVD.
Yes, indeed, it did. And when Rob Van Dam beat John Cena for the WWE title, I was happy about it, And this was Rob Van Dam's backyard, and this was his time to be WWE champion.
Yes.
Also, I would like to point out, if you're wondering why we're not talking about guys like Taz and Raven and Shane Douglas and ECW, that's because we're past that time. If you want to learn more about the old ECW, tune into Extreme Three Way Dance on the North South Connection podcast network, starring Justin Rosero, Jennifer Smith, and John D'Amato, as they talk about ECW from the beginning all the way until the end.
And we get the scraps.
Yes, we do. Hey, we resurrected it though.
There we go.
Well, let's jump right into this show. ECW, July 18th, 2006, from the American Bank Center in Corpus Christi, Texas. God, that came out wrong. We start off right away with Kelly Kelly's expose.
Can't go wrong there.
No, you can't. But again, it's a short one because Mike Knox comes out, escorts her to the ring. Knox blames Kelly for Sandman giving Mike Kane shots last week. If you recall from the yeah, it was from the July 18th episode with Candace Michelle, the Sandman came out and started caning Mike Knox. And then also Mike Knox said to Kelly that this tonight was her last night doing her expose. Even though she's an exhibitionist, Mike Knox does not like it.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, come on.
I know. It brings excitement. So
Mean,
then Mike says to Kelly, watch what I'm going to do to the Sandman, and we get Mike Knox versus the Sandman. And this
now,
is, yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I mean, it was actually decent to finally see Sandman do a match. And when I say decent, I mean compared to his other matches.
Yes, they lasted more than 5, they lasted more than 2 minutes. This one lasts more than 2 minutes. So we get Mike Knox versus the Sandman. It's contested under extreme rules. Why? Because the Undertaker versus the Big Show is the main event for the ECW title, and obviously Taker will not wrestle an extreme rules match, even though the title is on the line. Spoilers, that's the main event. So, Knox starts unloading punches on Sandman, then Knox slams the Sandman's head into the table. Then Sandman goes into the barricade. Then he bulldogs Mike. Then the Sandman bulldogs Mike Knox on the outside. The Sandman gets the cane, goes to hit Mike Knox. Mike pulls Kelly in front of him to take the shot. Kelly's on the ground, and then, not even using a finisher, Mike, Knox hits Sandman with two low blows, and that's enough to give Mike Knox the win by pinfall.
I gave this one star only because of Kelly Kelly. Nah, I mean, it was good that Sandman actually competed other than someone, you know, like Nacho Libre or, you know, the zombie, but still god awful. I really hope they're going to do something with Mike Knox and Sandman if they're going to keep recurring as characters. I mean, Mike Knox's character is kind of evolving, as we see, you know, a little spoiler to next week. But, you know, I haven't been too impressed with either of them up to this point.
What do you think of Knox's microphone skills so far?
Well, I don't know much about what he was beforehand. So, I mean, if you're going to consider it basically a rookie, you know, green, it's not horrible. We've definitely seen worse.
Indeed, we have. So now we get the reject Shannon Moore promo. So we know that Shannon Moore is coming to ECW. I still think Shannon Moore as Matt Hardy's little Mattitude, it was the best gimmick for him.
Oh, no, come on. I mean, don't forget, you know, his WCW run.
Yeah, I know. I forgot that too. And I was just, but that's the thing. If it weren't for like going back in time to watching WCW, I would have never have known who Shannon Moore was until the Mattitude.
Yeah, I mean, it is sad that, in my opinion, three count was his best gimmick.
Yeah, because at least he got exposure there, and they liked him, and he was doing all of his high flying stunts there.
I mean, hey, we'll wait and see.
Yep. So we come back from commercial break, and Kelly Kelly is receiving medical attention. As they are carrying Kelly Kelly away on the stretcher, Paul Heyman comes down to the ring with the Riot Squad. So Paul comes to the ring, and he gets on the microphone and says he wants the fans to follow him, that the fans are not listening, and that he still blames the fans for the suspension of Rob Van Dam. Out comes Tommy Dreamer. Tommy says he was behind Paul Heyman for so many years and had Paul's back. Even through the bad times when ECW closed, Tommy was still there. Tommy wants Paul to come to his senses and explain why he screwed Van Dam out of the ECW title. What do you make of this, Mike?
I mean, it's, you got to build up, you know, the heel general manager, which I'm fine with. And if you're going to have anyone, you know, I guess Dreamer is the representative, is the people's, for lack of a better term, person. But
he's
as we see,
W choice, basically.
Yeah. And as we see when, now that, you know, Tess comes in and interrupts and basically decapitates Dreamer, you're building Tess also. And I mean, I was a Tess fan. I liked it. So I was glad that they gave it a shot. So this is all basically to starting also to build Tess as a monster, which, you know, I like.
I do as well. And That kiss that Paul Heyman gives Tommy Dreamer, I had no idea that meant the kiss of death, basically, because Paul Heyman literally kisses Tommy. Tommy's like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, and wham, a big boot right to Tommy's face. Tommy gets the big boot.
I mean, that was it.
And then he gets the swinging net breaker too. That looked pretty powerful. I like the swinging net breaker test applies.
So I say so far, so good with test.
Yeah. He's trying to be the tough guy, the big tough guy that he was, back in the day. It felt like, his hair made him long, like taller,
Yeah.
So now we get a Balls Mahoney promo. Balls Mahoney telling the fans why he's extreme. He is balls to the walls.
Yeah.
So we're still getting promos from a lot of the ECW talent that is here now, but we're still not seeing them in the ring. And of course, we're going to see Balls Mahoney in the next show that we cover. So, But for now, we're still not seeing Shannon Moore. We saw Tess in the ring. We know where Mike Knox is. And we haven't seen Kevin Thorne yet.
No.
In the ring. So now we have Sabu versus Steven Richards. And if you recall from the Saturday night's main event that took place on the Saturday before this episode of ECW, it was Steven Richards versus Sabu in an ECW Extreme Rules match, which Sabu won. So this is a return match from Saturday night's main event.
And it was the first time ECW was on Saturday night's main event.
Sure was. Heavily promoted by D-Generation X versus the Spirit Squad, mostly.
Hey, Dolph lives.
So now we have Sabu versus Steven Richards. I said nice offense by Steven Richards. Shoulder blocks. Steven Richards shoulder blocks Sabu. Sabu counters by trying to roll up Stevie. And then Steven Richards throws Sabu into the ring ropes. A clothesline by Sabu and spinning heel kick. So Steven Richards goes for a baseball slide. Sabu goes for a baseball slide, takes out Steven's leg. And then Sabu does a guillotine leg drop to the back of Stevie's head. Steven kicks out, a tornado DDT to Steven Richards, and then the camel clutch to Steven Richards for the submission tap out. So Sabu wins by tap out of the camel clutch.
I gave this 2 stars. It was nice to actually see Sabu in a match. And not just extreme, just extreme everything. This was, a good match, in my opinion.
I gave it 1.5 stars. I thought it was a good showing by Sabu, like you said. Is Steven Richards the wrong opponent? Yes and no. But again, you don't have the full ECW roster, so you got to work with what you have.
Yes.
Now we get a CM Punk promo. CM Punk tells us that he has trained for many years to be here in ECW. And then we get a Kevin Thorne promo with Ariel. So CM Punk is almost here, and he's almost going to have his first match in ECW and on WWE TV.
At this point, I didn't know who CM Punk was. Remember back in the day. Quite interesting. I've heard of him, but I really didn't know anything about him.
Neither did I. Not even his Ring of Honor stuff either.
Yeah, so.
We're still just waiting for CM Punk to show up and wrestle. So now we have our main event. Main event time already. We have The Big Show versus The Undertaker for the ECW title. Now, keep in mind, this is also from Saturday night's main event. The Great Khali and The Undertaker were in a feud, and The Big Show helped double-team The Undertaker with The Great Khali from Saturday night's main event. And The Undertaker is going to fight The Great Khali in the upcoming Great American Bash pay-per-view in a Punjabi prison match. And we'll get to that when we cover our next episode of ECW. So here we now have The Big Show versus The Undertaker for the ECW title.
Now, Taker's entrance alone, I timed it, was 4 minutes and 24 seconds. And the crowd was insane for this. And coming from Corpus Christi, which is usually one of the worst wrestling towns, you know, for crowds, I mean, I was shocked.
I was shocked that The Undertaker was on ECW.
They were doing anything they could. Well, don't forget, he was also in SmackDown at the time, so.
Yeah, and it felt like that SmackDown was collaborating a little bit with ECW.
Well, they were taping at the same time, weren't they?
Yes, they were. So Big Show gets Undertaker into the corner, and he starts opening up with elbows and punches. So basically, it's dominance by the Big Show. He's headbutting Undertaker, and then they go back and forth, but then more headbutts from the Big Show. I'm surprised that the Big Show was doing this much damage to the Undertaker. A big boot to Taker from the Big Show, and then a clothesline to the outside. Taker slams Big Show into the ropes. Then Big Show spears Undertaker. Big Show then slams Taker into the steps. Taker kicks Big Show in the head. And then Taker starts punching Show to come back. Goes for a choke slam, but Big Show knees and DDTs. Big Show went for a choke slam, but then the Undertaker knees and DDTs the Big Show. Taker goes old school, but Big Show counters. And then the Big Show gets a superplex on the Undertaker. And then Taker sits up and goes for a choke slam. So does the Big Show. The Great Khali comes out. And then they double team the Big Show. They double-teamed The Undertaker. Big Show and Great Khali double-teamed The Undertaker. And then Undertaker grabs a chair, hits both of the Great Khali and Big Show with chair shots, but it's not enough. And a double choke slam to The Undertaker from Big Show and Great Khali into a table.
3 stars for the first 15 minutes and my toilet bowl for the last 5 minutes. I know that they're trying to promote the pay-per-view coming up, but
yeah, good. Which is the Great American Bash.
Not on. I guess this match was at the wrong time because that match was good. I mean, it was hard-hitting. I mean, the suplex, everything. I mean, it was a good to better-than-average match. And the ending Oh, and as we'll talk about, I like the ending of the next week's match.
Yep, me too.
But no, I just was, yeah. No, I did
Mike,
not
I
like
have
this
to
ending at
say.
all.
I have to say, Mike, I gave this actually, I gave it a star and a half. I was going to give it 2 stars, but I didn't like the ending of the match either.
Yeah, I decided not to penalize the ending because I really thought that, and especially compared to what we've been watching, I was really glad, and you know what? I remember this match. I did not remember the ending.
Would it have made more sense for the Big Show to beat the Undertaker to prove that the Big Show is extreme? I mean, to prove that you're extreme, you take out the biggest guy in the yard, and it seems like the Undertaker, it's still his yard.
I would say yes, but maybe because Big Show's the heel, hit him with because it was an extreme match, hit him with the chair when the ref wasn't looking, or do something to get the win, and then Kali come out. I'd be good with that.
Yeah, I mean, it could have gone either way, but for what it was that the Big Show and Great Khali both double choke slammed the Undertaker into the table, that was shocking. I would not think that Taker was still going through tables, and obviously he still does, as the years go by on from this show, he's still go crashing into tables.
You know, it. I mean, it was what it was. It was to set up the pay-per-view, which ultimately, as we're going to find out after you talk about it in a minute, didn't happen anyway.
No, it did not. But before we get to our next taping, Mike, I'd like to take the time now to tell our listeners what other content they can enjoy on the Place to Be Nation wrestling content. We have Wrestling Chicken Salad, which is a show Ben Locke, Sean Kidd, and Logan Crossland do. They take a bad pay-per-view, and they take the good of the pay-per-view, and they take the bad of the pay-per-view, and they decide if it's chicken shit or chicken salad. They just covered No Way Out 2003, which they said on the first half was the good part, and the second half was the bad part. We also have Talkin' WCW. Talkin' WCW, which is a show run by Jenny, Tim, and Greg. They talk about one match from the WCW superstar they are talking about. They just did Steven Regal. So they just covered Lord Steven Regal, and they each picked a match that they thought was great from Lord Steven Regal. We also have Highway to the Impact Zone, NWA Crock and Roll, NWA Saturday Special. You can find all this great content right here on the Place to Be Nation Network. Mike, let's talk also about the trivia tournament that is going on over on the Place to Be Nation Pop feed.
Well, it's tournament basically of all different kinds of subjects. I mean, we've had Friends, Seinfeld, Harry Potter, and this week we're going to be doing Star Wars. It's great, and the winning prize is this fabulous belt that Andy Atherton got. So if you haven't checked that out, go to the Place to Be Nation Facebook page and scroll up and look for that belt. Oh, it's unbelievable, and it kind of wishes that I was doing the tournament instead.
I will say, Mike, you're a great timekeeper. Now, let's jump right into our second show for tonight. ECW, July 25th, 2006, from the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, Michigan. And Mike, I must say, you want to know how I knew that SmackDown was before ECW?
How?
There were red and yellow balloons on the floor. And I knew that was from the King Booker New World Heavyweight Champion celebration.
Oh, yes.
And I said, I know where those are from. Those are from the Royal Celebration of King Booker's world title win on SmackDown. And I paid attention to that. I was like, oh, there's like all these yellow and red balloons. And lo and behold, it was from the SmackDown.
Hey, just so real quick before you continue there, you were talking about the chicken shit chicken salad with the No Way Out 2003. It's kind of funny because in that show, Undertaker did fight Big Show with Paul Heyman.
Yes, he did.
So let's get back to 2006.
I forgot that one too. I was like, oh yeah, now I remember they did fight at No Way Out 2003. So we have Mike Knox and Kelly Kelly. They're in the ring again. Mike says this is the last time we will see Kelly dance, all because of this cane shot. So they give us the recap of the cane shot that Sandman gave to Mike Knox, or attempted to give to Mike Knox, but Mike Knox obviously pulled Kelly in the way, so Kelly gets hit with the cane and gets knocked out. Mike Knox says that the Sandman did it on purpose. And again, he says, watch what I'm going to do to the Sandman, just like he did on the July 18th episode. He says the same thing again. So, Mike, we get another opening of Mike Knox versus the Sandman. Keep in mind, the opening match is a repeat.
Yeah, basically. But again, what's so different about this one is there was no extreme rule, so they couldn't technically use the cane. But I did like this better, not for the match itself, but with the ending, with Tess coming in and, you know, just putting the beat down on Sandman. Again, establishing Test gives Mike Knox even more of a character, and it looks like we're going to be forming a team. The other thing I did notice is that when Kelly Kelly went to block, you know, the cane shot from Sandman, and then afterwards they just left her.
Yeah, they did. So Mike Knox versus the Sandman. Mike unloads punches again, but then the Sandman counters with a White Russian leg sweep. Instead of going for the pin, Sandman goes and gets the cane. Kelly comes into the ring and protects Mike for some reason. I don't know why she does. So Sandman stops before he makes the same mistake again. And then Tess comes into the ring, and Mike and Tess double team on the Sandman. They double team onto the Sandman. Hold on a second. Sorry, Mike, I lost my notes. They double team the Sandman. And then they double team the Sandman. Oh my gosh, I'm in so much trouble right now. And they get the swinging net, and Tess gives the swinging net breaker to the Sandman. Tess and Mike say they're unstoppable. So basically, it's like Tess and the Scott Steiner tag team with Stacy Keibler, and Kelly Kelly is Stacy Keibler's place, basically.
Yeah.
And then, so Test and Mike say they're unstoppable. Tommy Dreamer ambushes Test and Mike with a trash can. So I like this by Tommy.
Yes. You know, this is the first time we've really seen, you know, more out of him besides the, you know, just Big Show tossing him around. So this looks like he's going to get into a good feud. I mean, and it does, you know, from last week. And I'm sure that Tommy's going to be looking for a tag team partner.
Yes, he is. So then we get Paul Heyman and Sabu talking in the back. Sabu wants to challenge the Big Show for a title match. Paul Heyman denies him and tells Sabu to take the night off. And then we see little Guido in the back. He's saying that, why won't you grant Sabu this title shot? And then the Riot Squad beats up little Guido. Then we get
saying his match is next.
Yep. Oh, yes. He says his match is next. Then we get a CM Punk promo, another CM Punk promo. This time he's saying he had to fight for everything he wanted, and he's going to debut next week. So next week, we're going to get the debut of CM Punk.
Something we've all been waiting for. Like, I do not remember him at all from his early starts of ECW. So I'll be excited to see how it goes.
I will too. So now we get Kevin Thorne's in-ring debut versus Little Guido. And the Riot Squad drags Guido to the ring. And then we get a clothesline to Guido. Guido gets slammed off the top rope. I called this a razor's edge by Kevin Thorne to Guido. What did you think?
That's basically what it was.
I know, yeah. It was a razor's edge by Kevin Thorne to Guido for the pin. I gave this a star, Mike. What did you give it?
I gave it a star also. I just don't know why they said, what is this? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's plain as day. It was a razor's edge. I don't know. I can't remember what Scott Hall's relationship with WWE at that point. I mean, was he in TNA at this point, you know, for that brief stint?
I'm not sure if he was in TNA at the time in 2005 or 2006. I don't think he was.
All right, while you keep going, I'll look it up to see real quick.
Yep. So then we get a look at Kane going into tonight's main event. Because it is Kane versus the Big Show in an Extreme Rules match for the ECW title. And we see all the horrific things that Kane has done, such as setting Jim Ross on fire, slamming Shane McMahon around, tombstoning Rob Conway. So Kane is looking to prove himself that he is extreme and he is a monster. Then we get another Shannon Moore, the reject promo. So Shannon Moore is still coming close to making his debut in wrestling for ECW. Then we get Balls Mahoney versus Just Incredible, Mike.
Yeah, I just don't get Balls Mahoney, but that's just me.
So we have Balls Mahoney versus Just Incredible. Shots by Justin, then a suplex by Balls. Balls punches Justin in the corner. An elbow drop to Justin's head. Three leg drops to Balls by Justin and a DDT. A spine buster to Justin Credible. So when he goes to the pin, Justin's foot is on the rope. And then Justin goes for a baseball slide, but he misses. And Justin just goes right in to the turn post, crotch and all. That has to hurt.
Yeah, that was definitely an interesting move. And I don't know how it had to be kayfabe. And he had to hit himself.
I know, but when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's gotta hurt. And then Balls hits Justin with a chair to DQ for the DQ. So Balls Mahoney gets disqualified and Justin Credible wins. I must say, Mike, I found this match boring.
Yes, I agree. I gave it 1 star. I gave it a half star for the match. Too many rest holds and too long for an introductory match. And I gave it a half for the ball shot.
Now, I gave this match fully a half a star because I found it to be boring. Let me ask you this, Mike. Without extreme rules in all the matches, every match is not extreme rules in this era of ECW under the WWE umbrella. Does this expose Balls Mahoney as not being a good wrestler?
Oh,
where yeah. He can only hide his talents behind extreme rules because he doesn't have to wrestle the match fully. They're stopping to hit each other with chairs and tables and whatnot. Because this is a normal match, he has to wrestle the whole thing.
Yes, it definitely. Paul Heyman, since Paul Heyman really doesn't have final say, he can't hide his talent. He can't hide the negatives of the wrestlers like he was able to in ECW. I mean, honestly, Sandman, would he have been popular anywhere else? In everywhere else's opinion, except people who were diehard ECW fans, he was a Steve Austin. Extreme Steve Austin, you know, but nowhere near as the talent. Balls Mahoney, not really that good. I mean, Justin Credible, he never anywhere close to the same success anywhere else. But Paul Heyman was a genius at hiding people's negatives. And to me, Balls Mahoney, I never understood him. He can't wrestle. He should not have been in a 7-minute match, especially with four of those minutes being rest holds.
Yeah, when you give them rest holds, they don't know what to do with the rest holds. And it just seemed like headlock after headlock after headlock, and it was just, are we going to do something here, or are we just going to, you know, not do something? So now we get a Big Show backstage with Paul Heyman. Big Show says he will fight anyone. And he says, I just fought The Undertaker in a Punjabi prison match at Great American Bash last Sunday, which Big Show wasn't supposed to be in. It was supposed to be originally The Undertaker versus Great Khali, but at the last minute, they switched it to The Big Show. So Big Show is coming off of a Punjabi prison match with The Undertaker at Great American Bash. And he wants to know why he can't fight Sabu. And Paul Heyman told him, well, Sabu is the suicidal, genocidal, homicidal maniac. Focus on Kane. Dominate Kane. And then we get a Kurt Angle comes back to ECW next week promo. So Kurt Angle's coming back, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, he was the big draftee, so it would be good to see him back. As we know, very limited. But about the Big Show Undertaker match, that was the elevated enzyme show. So Great Khali, Lashley, and Super Crazy, none of them wrestled in that show, and that just basically threw that main event off.
Oh. So it was because of, like, the show, basically?
Whatever, they had elevated liver enzymes.
Oh, so that's what the Great Khali had. Yeah.
Right, and there was three or four people that were not able to compete, were not medically cleared.
Oh, I get it. Ooh, man, you know, I remember watching that promo and I thought this match is either going to be really good or really bad. And then when the Big Show takes place, the Great Khali, I was just like, why isn't he fighting? Like, he's there. Why can't we have the Great Khali fight the Undertaker?
In storyline, because Khali attacked Undertaker, if I remember correctly, Teddy Long suspended him.
Yeah, like he kicked him out and was just like, no, you're not going to fight Undertaker anymore. It's going to be the Big Show. So now we get Kane versus the Big Show in an ECW title Extreme Rules match. The title is on the line. Big Show throws Kane over the top ropes. Kane pushes Show into the turnbuckle. Kane pulls out two tables and sets up chairs and trash cans. A clothesline by the Big Show to Kane. A huge slap to Kane's chest. And then Kane gets a flying clothesline to the Big Show. Big Show slams Kane's head into a chair. Trash can and trash can shots by Big Show. Kane low blows and suplexes Big Show. A clothesline in the corner. And then a choke slam by the Big Show to Kane, but Kane kicks out. And then the table set up. Kane hits Big Show with a chair. Show falls through both tables. A DDT counter by Kane from a choke slam. So Kane's about to pin the Big Show, but Paul Heyman pulls the referee out. Kane goes after Paul, but gets hit by a chair. A choke slam onto the chair by the Big Show for the pin. What did you think of the match before we get to the ending of the show?
It was, I gave it 3 stars again. A little bit different than the week before. However, I mean, it fit Kane's character perfectly. I mean, even the little laugh, like when he fell through the table, that maniacal laugh. And with the interference, now, if Undertaker lost that way, I would have been more okay with it. I thought the ending was much, much better than the week before. You know, and even though he didn't beat Undertaker, he still beat Kane, and Kane was still a monster at this point, so it was a good win. I mean, and Big Show, I mean, what is this, like three out of the last 4 weeks where he's been bleeding pretty bad?
Yeah, it has been.
So, I mean, I liked it.
I liked it too. I think you set your star standards a little too high, but that's up to you. I gave it 2 stars, and I feel like my star ratings are going to stay in the twos for a while until we get more processing of these ECW shows. But I did like the main event. I liked the fall by the Big Show into the double tables. That was a really good spot.
Yes, I agree.
So now the Big Show is celebrating his win. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Sabu drops the Big Show, drop kicks the Big Show with a chair. And that is going to start the Sabu versus Big Show feud.
I mean, that should, and the crowd was hot for that match, for this show also. Even though anyone in their right mind knew Sabu, no way Sabu was winning. I mean, I'm shocked that he was even getting a title shot with what happened. However, I'm still happy that they're going to actually go somewhere with Sabu. You know, even though there's no way he would have won, I think that he would win. But I like the way that they're going. And I thought the ending of the show was pretty good. It was the best ending of the ECW show since the opening one.
You also have to understand that Joe Louis Arena in Detroit is a hot crowd. So they're like one of those. They're a nice
crowd. Hometown too. Well, at least the Sheik.
Yeah. But the Joe Louis Arena is a really good, solid crowd. You know, they weren't like the Philadelphia crowd, you know, on the July 4th episode.
No.
So, Mike, do you have an MVP for any of these shows?
I'm going to go with Big Show. I thought he had two great matches. And I really think they're solidifying him.
I would take the Big Show too. I enjoyed his dominance of Undertaker, and I enjoyed his dominance of the playing the heel role and kind of cheating with Kane, but also the ending with Sabu that I think brought a great, that brought a great rating up to ECW on Sci-Fi.
Yes.
So, Mike, before we wrap up our episode tonight, do you have anything that you want to plug on any other podcasts or anything else?
I am not on any podcast at this point, besides the trivia thing. But, however, we are still doing our monthly pay-per-view pick'em. It's $10 to join. That $10 is good for the entire year. There are monthly prizes, and the prizes depend on which pay-per-view it is. We include all the NXT and the WWE ones. So talk to myself, MDCook2575 at Hotmail, or contact Roger Morissette, the Cowboy, and we'll get you in. And it's a lot of fun. It's actually making the pay-per-views, you know, something to look forward to.
Yes, it is. And I do my pick'ems, and let me just say, for the Elimination Chamber pick that I had, it did not go my way. I was on a hot streak, Mike, and then Kofi Kingston messed everything up. Kofi Kingston just messed everything up. I was not expecting that, and I felt like I was just going to throw all my furniture all over the house for what happened.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still fun. It's still with the picks. It's good, and we've had a good time doing it. This is our third year doing it, and we're growing every year. So, you know, hopefully we can get some more people joining.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of Extreme Resurrection. I'm James Grunberg alongside Michael Cook, and we will see you next time. Thank you for listening.